Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast for another episode. And today I am rather interested and intrigued on where this conversation is going to go. For those of you who have not yet heard the last video that I put out on time, it was a massive download that I received during an alchemy call regarding time as a reflective portal for change and how time is reflecting different realities into this one when we get to spend the time there through higher frequencies. And truthfully, as I was doing the video on Friday night live, there was even more that was unpacked through that. And even when I got off the live, there was more information. And one of my friends, we'll call him Blue Phoenix, he called me up because he started to have memories unlocked from his past, from when he believes he was in the Secret Space Program, the SSP. And there were certain memories around time, and he remembers devices they were using. And so we're going to actually just expand upon the conversation. We're going to see where this goes, because it was extremely interesting talking to him last night when we were chatting on the phone. So Blue Phoenix, welcome to the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Nicole?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I mean, these conversations are just so intriguing. Just when you think you know a little bit, you realize that little bit really is the speck of grain of sand, of knowledge. It's just, there's just so much we don't know, and we're unpacking and trying to understand, you know. That's what was so it, true. What was it like for you listening to that live video, having certain memories unlocked?
Yeah. So initially it was like any other video, you know, going into it. I wasn't expecting anything really crazy to happen, but as you were going along, I started getting flash memories just popping in my head. And it's not the first time that I've had memories about this particular SSP, but it clarified a lot of things that I hadn't yet seen from this SSP. And for me personally, it connected a lot of dots for me. So it was a very eye-opening experience.
And for the audience, just so you know, Blue Phoenix is just not comfortable coming forward yet. Some of the information that he's going to be sharing is pretty sensitive and new. For him, there's a lot of processing that's happened. So we're just protecting his identity right now. But this idea of time, have you noticed any slips of time, any like slipping into different timelines or just losing time, gaining time, just time warping? Like, have you noticed any of that over the last 2 months or so?
Absolutely. This is going to sound a little bit strange, maybe, but.
Well, you're at the right place.
But the way that I perceive it is through intuition. So I can feel a shift in like the speed that we're perceiving it is changing. And I think most people are probably not aware that they're going through a little bit of a slippery junction, but you can feel it if you. I don't know how else to explain other than if you kind of have that intuition about you, where you know what you consider to be normal time, what is normal for you for time. Well, when it slips, it feels like you're being pulled, like it's a kind of like going down a slide, you know, where it's a little easier in a moment where you move through for 20, 30 minutes. Sometimes the last couple of months actually has kind of been a roller coaster. It's been a little bit back and forth, but yeah, it's a little bit of a slip here and there. I don't know if that helps.
Yeah. What is your analysis of the slip? Like, from what you know, and we'll get into it in more detail, but from what you know and what you've observed and recalled from your time in SSP, the slippage of time, like, where did you see that while you were working?
Yeah, so this has to do, this is kind of my interpretation of it, so it's kind of through my lens, you know. But I see it as when you have a timeline that is collapsing. One of the things I did in that SSP was fixing frayed timelines. And like frayed off, like loose frayed ends of your hair, you know. They kind of go off to nowhere. And anyway, they have to be fixed. So that's one of the things we were working on. But when they come back into a node, this junction that we're in right now is kind of like a time nexus. And it's a bubble of a pretty large bubble, actually, that we're going through, like a portal. Best described probably as like a magnetic field. But as these timelines come closer to you and they're snapping back through, you can almost feel like it's a kind of like that slippery feeling. Like there's twice the potential. There's twice the what's the best word for that? You know how if let's say you're looking at something, an opportunity for work, or you're looking at a change, even if you're looking at changing your car or something, but you're looking at something in your life, and then all of a sudden, like, it's, whoa, that was way too easy. Like it almost like it's fell into place without effort at all. And this is kind of like what happens when you converge these together, is you have, it's like double the power, because in that timeline next to you that's coming back in, the same thing was going on, or a similar thing was going on. And so it literally speeds you up for a second, you know, and it makes the transaction seem effortless, because it's almost like there's two of you working on the same goal. That makes sense. Like you only had to put half the effort to get that done.
Okay. That makes sense. So just so like we're all clear here, and just to help the audience out, it's almost like if you have this timeline and then there's a fray, like just let's just say there's one fray off of it that is like really going off into nowhere. And are these time frays considered not ideal? And so not wanting that timeline to fray off and so trying to bring it back?
Yes. So okay. What we're experiencing is in the node is the closest point to ideal. So what you're not seeing in that timeline that is coming back is the end, tail end of it there, where it's dangling out into chaos, is way off base. If that makes sense. So yeah, it's coming back, but as it gets closer to the mainstay timeline,
yep,
that is like resonates with the whole solar system. Well, as it comes back closer and closer and closer, it is more and more similar to our time. That makes sense.
Yeah, no. I yes, it starts to almost mirror, right? Like mirror. It starts to mirror, exactly. And then it just converges. So yep. Would it be considered, if a timeline is fraying, right? Considering on who's looking at the timeline, it could either be positive or negative, depending on who's wanting to control it.
Yes, and there is such a thing as a time wars. There's a lot of movies that portray this.
Yes.
That are, I would say, are clear disclosure movies. Time wars are actually no joke, and time wars are unfortunately a lot more common than they should be. And a lot of these phrases, when you come into a big node like we're in now, a lot of these phrases are created because of a point of conflict where you had opposing views on what time should look like at that point. So, yeah, it's definitely a thing where you can have, okay, so let's take this for example. Say the main timeline is going along and it's supposed to be positive. But if there was enough of an attack, enough change to enough pieces of this time coming together in a node, then you can change that frequency. So now that mainstay frequency of that solar system has altered. And when that happens, you're literally changing the outcome from there on. And the only way to fix like a major nexus, like a node like that, is on purpose. There's no way to accidentally, oh, geez, great, it fixed itself. It just doesn't work like that. It has to be done on purpose.
Okay. And just explain to the audience what the nexus actually is.
So essentially what it is a magnetic field. So if you look at time, I'll paint a picture for you guys. For if you look at time, so first thing to know about time is time and space are as one. So if I take the solar system as a great example, and instead of making the plate of the plane of our solar system, as you know, the planets rotating around the sun, instead of envisioning that plate horizontal, like sitting on your table, going around the center of the galaxy, that's not the direction it's actually turned up. So the center of the plate, the actual face of the plate where you would put your food, is actually what's going forward. That's facing forward. So it's, and if you do that with, you know, you put your planets in there going around the sun, now what you have is, as the solar system travels around the center of the galaxy, you have kind of a corkscrew effect of every planet making a time trail of a whole bunch of bubbles. These are essentially the frequencies of these planets. And in many cases, this is real easy to understand as a physical thing, because even the structure of it is all perfect. So like the size of the solar system is the size of the solar system's bubble, if that makes sense. Like its magnetic properties of the solar system is the boundaries, physical boundaries of that bubble.
Okay.
So when you zoom in and now you're looking just at Earth, well, it's not the physical necessarily, but the magnetic bubble of Earth.
Mm-hmm.
That is the boundary that is what you're looking at as far as this bubble. So as it goes along,
it's like a time bubble in a way.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. And it's a whole string of them. So, and it's got its own frequency, so that Earth also spins on its own axis. And as it's doing that, and you zoom in even further, say you come zoom all the way down to a human being. Well, the human being, just like the planet, just like the solar system, it has its own bubble. And this bubble comes primarily out of the heart. You know, there's a reason why your heart beats, you know, and it's got a rhythm to it. And that rhythm, if you can imagine, is every time your heart is open, is the widest point of the bubble. When the heart is closed in between, the bubble drops down. And then it opens back up, drops down, opens. And that's literally your frequency. So in time. So as you're traveling through space, you know, which we all are, everything's moving, you know, just take the solar system going around the center of the galaxy. We're all moving at 500,000 miles an hour. So that means if you took 1 second, if you just took 1 second of a snapshot, it'd be like 139 miles worth of bubbles behind you, just in 1 second snapshot. And that has to do with that speed that you're traveling. But now that bubble is going to be like stretched out, you know, because of the speed that you're traveling. So, but my point here is that everything is, it has its, in our, we'll call it 3D conscious reality, right? That we're experiencing. Everything literally has its physical and energetic component. And as far as time goes, you can't separate it. So when you're looking at a time war, they're literally able to look at time maps as a physical place. So like when you're, let's say here, well, I'll just pick on you, Nicole. let's say something happened. You were 15 years old and we want to look at it. So we've got this map in front of us. And it kind of looks like a star map, you know, a 3D star map.
Okay.
And it's in a hemisphere, so like a half globe. And you're standing over it, and you just wave your hand, and you can look through all your different timelines as you go. Any point in time, you can zoom in, you know, like you do on your phone, right? You just open your hand, and you're zooming in, and you can go to any point in your life and pick on any one of those bubbles, any one of those heartbeats that you had. That's how very precise it can be. So if you know that there is an actual moment that you need to get there two beats before it, you can get that precise, get there two beats before it, zoom all the way in, and then you change it by the angles. So on the ship I was on, they use this device, and it's like a round table, and in the middle of it is a hemisphere, like a half of a world that you can see. And this is their Google, right? Okay. So they can use this thing to look at all aspects of time, and they can look at you, me, the planet, the sun, doesn't matter how macro or micro, doesn't matter. They can zoom in or zoom out either way. So if they wanted to change that point in your life when you were 15, they could go two heartbeats before that point happened. And what they're going to look at that point is they use this, like it's almost like a crystal prism, where as they turn it, you're looking at the whole situation of that point in time from a different angle. So it's kind of like if you're standing in front of a car, looking straight at a car, versus if you're standing on the driver's side of the car, looking straight at the car, and another aspect of you is looking at the car from the passenger side. Well, in this particular case, which one you know, if you've got to pop yourself in there, make a change and pop yourself back out, which one of those areas next to you are, do you want to be, you know, be in that space? Because you physically are in that space.
Okay. So, this is really interesting. I need to pause you there for a second.
Okay.
Because I was listening to a podcast today and it's just interesting timing. Because, okay, no pun intended, but I guess it works. So they were mentioning this, the guest on the show was mentioning how, the speed of sound and light, the way sound and light work, they come in at like transverse angles, to one another. And so, what you're talking about is making me think about how, like, you can, it's almost like the speed of sound and the speed of light are altered from different angles to create, like, I guess this entry point, let's just call it. Is that correct? Or am I, like, maybe it's not correct, but is it kind of along those lines?
Yeah. So when you're making it, I know the, from my memories of going and making changes, that you have the opportunity to get so close to a bubble. So like, I can't pop into that past you in your seat. And, you know, if you were the one in the driver's seat, I can't pop into you mm-hmm. and make the change. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I have to, but I can alter. I can go around your bubble. So your bubble's about 6 feet. So, okay, I can look at this crystal and change the different angles and decide how I'm going to come in to that bubble.
Yeah.
And
well, it makes this, sense because the prism refracts light in all different like infinite angles.
We're all light and sound frequency. Light and sound are actually very, very symbiotic to one mm-hmm. another.
Yeah, you can't have one without the other.
Yeah, it's kind of like electricity and magnetism.
Exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, that's how you would make a change, is you would pick, you know, now if I was the one looking at that, especially if you're driving, I don't want to, if you're on a two-lane road, I don't want to be the one hopping in on your driver's side, because now I'm in oncoming yes. traffic.
Okay.
I don't want to be the one in front of the car, you know,
because okay.
that's not going to work.
Logistics are important here.
Yeah. Yeah. They can be. They can be very important. If you're trying to enforce a change, so that means that something has happened in your past and there is a place for it, not just a time. I just wanted to make that very clear.
So let,
like, this is
sorry, and just so I can help. I don't know, the audience need this, or maybe they wish I would just shut up right now. But are you saying, like, if you were to pop in and say I'm driving along and you need me to just slow, okay, maybe it's like you need to slow me down a little bit. You could go in there and, like, I don't know, knock a tree down that I would have to swerve around, and it would slow me down just enough so that I would miss something else ahead of me.
Yeah. So in that case, so if I'm trying to get you to dodge something.
Yeah.
So then I would move in time space, which is still space. It's just space. Time is the same thing. So I would simply move further away from the vehicle, but I would still pop in at that time that needed the needed time.
Okay.
So, you could absolutely do that. Pop in, knock a tree down, you know, now she's going to swerve around. Now she's not going to get hit by that truck or whatever.
Could you even like pop into the passenger seat and pull the wheel without me even knowing you were there?
I don't think so, because I would be too close to your bubble.
Okay.
I would be able to pop in and then move into. When I'm physically there, mm-hmm. then we can interact just like I'm physically there.
Got you. Okay.
But when you pop in, you can't pop in into their bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. some technicalities here.
There's yeah, some there's technical. A little bit of there's a, well, and my understanding of that is that it has to do with the free will. Okay. So believe it or not, this is going to sound, this is where I'm going to really sound crazy, but believe it or not, everything in the universe works off of some principles, you know, and one of these principles is that you have free will. So this free will principle does not allow for certain things. And one of the things definitely is a manipulation of your past, something you have already experienced. So if I'm going to go back and manipulate your past, there is a free will at play here, because this is your past, right? So at some level, either you in the future, you know, even if you passed on, and now since you passed on, I need to go make that change because that's not what I intended in that life or whatever, then that can be done afterwards, after you're not even here anymore. That can be communicated. And then, because now you have given the free will to say, yes, go change my past there. Most of us, however, are here on our, not directly necessarily on our path, you know, but for the most part, we've made blueprints out before we come here. We've designed, you know, this life. And so there's a lot to be said for free will. When you're doing an attack, like, you know, we all know how the Draconian, you know, reptilians are, and they can be a little bit abusive on these rules, but to say the least.
Yeah.
But they have caveats to it. And it's a lot of their caveats to it, they will go to the past to get your permission to change something which is still in your past, but in that past version's future. And also, they use a lot of tricks, so many tricks, but most of their tricks, honestly, are consciousness-based. So they're like, they're likely to give you a dream, and they'll use the grays for this. Most of the time, it won't actually be a Draco. They'll use their grays. And so they'll get three grays standing around and meditating while you're sleeping. And they're focused on giving you a very particular kind of dream or whatever. And because of the outcome and how this dream is affecting you, which they already have an idea, at least they're supposing they have the idea to get the outcome they're looking for. So that's one of their ways of tricking you. And the funny thing about that is most people will think, well, this is happening to me now and my life sucks now and this is all terrible right now. What they don't realize is the change that they made in your consciousness at that point and how that's going to affect your future decisions, which is why they did it. Why they did it. Because so the Draconians are riddled with AI, and the foreign AI. I'm talking about the what a lot of people would call like the intruder form of AI. This is, you know, this is very bad for us because it gives them a little edge on time.
Here's the thing, though. Tell me what you get when I tell you this, because I got a download a little while ago while we were talking, and but I didn't want to interrupt you when you were talking about how like time wars and I know that's real. I know that's very real. There are people who are literally here to go back in time and to fix things and change things and almost like time lords. But I got a download, like I literally, I don't know, it was got that there is a more powerful element above time that can control that, like that can override it.
That is your free will. When you hold power to your free will, I don't care if it's a Draco or what it is, it cannot stand against it. And it actually, this is a more correct statement. Well, it would not choose to.
This makes sense because it makes me think back to Tony. You know, when he's been on the show and he talked about when he was being brought back and he was being sent back after his 20 and back, and he was going to go back into his 10-year-old body, I think it was. And they're like, no, you're going to forget. And they're like, no, he's like, no, I won't. And he free willed it so that he wouldn't forget. And they, absolutely. And I remember one of the, I think it was a reptilian, was like, knock it off. You're making him mad. This is going to be troublesome.
Yeah.
So is that the element then that I'm being referred to that is more powerful than the time? So there can be an element of controlling time, but the most powerful element is the free will?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah, because everyone here in playing in this game of reality, every single one of us have the same source of free will. So there's no like, it's not like a chess set, you know, where you have kings and queens and, you know, we're all kings or queens or whatever. We're we all have the same power from the same source. Negative or positive doesn't matter. We all have the same power.
And I feel that this is one of the things that is, why this is why, and when I got the message around the restrictive qualities of the last couple of years is what is spurring this desire to become more powerful or to tap into more power, to access more power, to understand the power that you have. It's because in many ways, many people are feeling like their free will is being infringed upon. And so you get angry, or you get, you know, whatever emotions are stirred up in you to say, like, I don't want that to happen. And, you know, whatever it might be, to, I'm sure it's different for every individual. But that to me is like, now I'm starting to understand that. And I see that even just today, I had a feeling of there's a situation around that I have to, like, you know, there's two big choices that I can make right now. I'm literally seeing like a timeline split, and at the time I was like, I don't know which one I'm supposed to do. And when you and I were talking last night about the egg yolk, and for everyone who may have not heard the last video, I highly suggest you go back and listen. I'm going to link it in the show notes. But the double yolk that I got, the three double yolks, was showing me that both options exist together. Like, it doesn't matter which one I choose. It doesn't have to be this or that. It can be this and that.
And in most cases, for anything to be real in reality, it's very important to remember that you have, for anything to exist here, it has to have the south and north. It has to have the poles, or it has no magnetic field. Yeah. If it has no magnetic field, it's not real.
No, this is true. But it's this idea that, you know, a lot of us come up against this choice. Like, well, if I choose this, what if it was wrong and I was meant to choose that one? Like, which one's going to be the better choice? You know, and I'm getting that both options are available within the same choice. Like, I can have both, and they're, it's almost like, okay, so when you talked about you like someone, I think someone brought it up. I don't know. I can't, cause there's so many comments, and I don't know what's been, there's right. A lot that's been said in the alchemy group too, that there is a mirror reflection, like the yolks could be reflecting one another. And like, what if the double yolks were a reflection of one another, and showing that both timelines are reflecting already, like they're almost interacting. And like, I'm getting like a DNA helix, like a weaving kind of energy. And that if, okay. And so just even thinking that, what that did for me and my own power and my own free will, because that's what we were just talking about, is I'm like, you know what? Whatever I'm going to choose, I'm going to make it badass. Like, I'm going to make it so strong. Like, I'm just going to like give, I'm going to give her, you know, like I'm going to bring everything I got. And I'm going to like, I don't know, whatever I thought this option was going to be, I'm going to make it so much better. I'm going to bring in so much energy so that more opportunities open up, or things that I didn't even know were possible could open up. And it's just, it's like, as soon as I felt like one option was constricting, all of a sudden I'm like, whatever, I'm going to just open up more doors. And, you know, if one door is closing, there's more doors to open. And I think that's like, I feel like that's the energy that's been coming alive in a lot of people over the last couple of years, considering what we've all been through.
Definitely.
This idea like, oh, you're going to close that door on me? Well, I'm going to go open this door, or like, and I'm going to go open five more. And now you're going to have to try and close five doors. You know,
like,
I don't know.
It's like, yeah, it's kind of like the parallel economy. So yeah. This idea where, okay, well, this platform's going to do this. Okay, well, we're going to start our own platform over here. And I mean, it doesn't make sense in one aspect of it, you know, because we're so used to being with this idea, especially here, like in the United States, with this idea of, you know, we're all Americans here, right? But a lot of that's kind of starting to go by the wayside a little bit as we become more and more polarized. The beauty of the polarization is that we also become much more powerful in our selected polarity. So if that makes sense to you,
mm-hmm.
like the mirroring yolks, you know, if one yolk was black and the other yolk was yellow, which oak would you choose?
Well,
you know,
if it's an egg, I would probably go for the yellow one, considering the black one might be like, might be
right?
Really dead.
Right? But there are those that are choosing the black yolk.
Mm-hmm.
So the beauty of it is that it is your free will. Like you really can choose as you go, you know. And with all these timelines coming into this node, it really gives us an opportunity, the way I see it. And now the flip side of this is true. There's an awful lot of people right now where their lives are literally falling apart. And what they're not realizing, for the most part, most of them are, they may not be consciously aware of it, but they believe in and or are focused on the black yolk. All they have to do is turn around and focus the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But they're focused on that energy. And so, you know, they're going to speed that up and move towards it.
And this is the whole thing, yeah. Is like, we have to be so conscious of where our focus is going, because what we're energetically
Absolutely.
Focused on, we keep powering up. And that's why I Absolutely. Said, like in that video, the more time or energy you put into that little time slippage when you enter into another reality that, you know, might be a more ideal reality, the more energy you do, you actually power it up, and then it reflects back into this one to help change it. So if you're constantly putting energy into a reality that you actually don't want, but you, it's like, and that's the whole trick of it all. And we all succumb to that at some point, you know. It's so easy to get tricked into focusing on the negative, focusing on what we don't want. It's like almost human nature to always focus on what you don't want, or focus on what's going wrong, instead of focusing on what you do want and focusing on what's going right.
That, I think in a way it's because it's set up that way to force you to learn.
Yeah.
You know, gravity doesn't stop working. Eventually, if you don't learn how to ride that bike right, you know, your knees are going to be all banged up and you're just going to keep falling off the thing. But eventually, if you keep trying, you'll learn how to ride it right. And that gravity, that resistance, that pull will be your friend when you learn balance.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we're here to learn in many cases. One of the things that we're here to learn, or that we're all going through, is like, is mastering manifestation, you know, mastering creation.
Absolutely.
And
that's the point of the whole thing.
Yeah. And so while you have every chance in your day to focus on what it is that you want to create, an addiction to pain or negativity or, you know, all of that just keeps forcing your focus to go elsewhere. And
eventually, even like according to Taoist or, I mean, look at all the ancient wisdom that we have here, and pretty much all of it will tell you that eventually you're going to get sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can keep making the poor decisions. A lot of people will take this to their grave, right?
Mm-hmm.
But those that can be turned, those that can, that have the wherewithal, you know, the consciousness in them, they will flip. And when they flip, it will be an amazing thing. So this is why, you know, I really, after the last couple of years, I've gotten completely out of any interest of politics and all these things, because there's an awful lot of people what we may consider, oh, they're on the other side, you know? Okay, they are today. But their bellies are getting full of it. And eventually, because they eat themselves over there, you know, eventually, when they flip, they become a powerhouse for the light, like a real powerhouse. So I try not to focus much energy on especially negative thoughts and feelings towards, you know, like, I don't like this one, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's not serving you anyway, because your focus is wrong. Why are you focused on what you don't like? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. You know? Well, I know it doesn't make any sense, but we do it all the time. We're an interesting species. And this is the other thing too, is that I feel like we are so undervaluing what it means to be human and what these DNA skin suits can actually do. And the more, you know, there's so much of your DNA that can be activated, turned on, and other things that can be turned off through your own conscious expression. And so it's just a matter of, you know, rising above the fray, so to speak, in order to become the master of your own, gosh, not just your own reality, but your own technology, because our DNA is one of our greatest technologies. And I'm curious because, you know, when we go back to this idea of time, when you and I were speaking on the phone the other night, you mentioned that you had another memory come in, or something made more relevant to you about something that happened to you here where you slipped through time.
Yeah. So that was, in 2005, I was driving and fell asleep behind the wheel. I was driving an 18-wheeler at the time. I came off the road, hit a ditch, jumped the lady's driveway, landed in the ditch on the other side. I woke up in the air coming down into a ditch. And this is at night, it's like 5 a.m. at the time. And it jacked up the wheel on the driver's side, and when it bounced into the next driveway and turned the truck to the left, going right into like their garage. And somehow or another, I was able to pop the air brakes and stop it. But after all of that, and I'm standing out and looking at the whole thing, I walk back and I'm look at these tire tracks, and that clearly came off the road in the grass. And I could see it come straight off the road, hit that lady's driveway. And then there's no tracks, you know, until like 20 feet into the other ditch. But there's a telephone pole there next to her driveway, and it was a foot inside of the tire tracks, which is where my driver's seat would have been. So I was completely asleep at the time. I woke up just as I was coming down on the ditch on the other side. So what did happen there? I don't know. Honestly, it's been one of those things, you know, in my life. But when we were talking, this is when I got the clear image of the crystal and how they would use this. And I can clearly see this in my head now. I mean, for that incident in particular, I could see what I would choose to do and go in there and fix the situation so that I didn't go through the pole, you know? Because clearly I've got a life plan that didn't have that involved in it. So it was already in my free will, you know? So it's not like, especially if, I don't know, I don't have a conscious memory that I went back and fixed that. So I don't know if it was me or what it was, but some might say I had angels watching me for years. That's what I kind of chalked it up to, you know. But and who's to say, maybe that is the case in that case. But I know when we were talking, that just popped in my head with that, the use of that crystal when they had zoomed in to where the problem was on that timeline that needed to be fixed to stop that prey. And when so this was kind of interesting, the way it worked is they would lay me down on the table, and these guys were like, okay, so I'll tell you a little bit about these guys. They look like the guys, you know, the statues on Easter Head Island.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guys. So full face, the length of their tall heads is a face. It's not like a little face like ours and then a tall head. Their face goes the full length of their head.
Okay.
And they're like 10, 12 feet tall. These guys are tall. And they have these birds flying around in the spaceship.
Birds.
Yeah. They have these birds. They fly around wild in the ship. They're kind of funny because they land on them. They have this relationship with these birds, but
any kind of the ship, did the birds look like? Were they different colors? Was like, do you remember them being?
They have a slender kind of a beak, maybe like an inch and a quarter, inch and a half long. Just a normal kind of looking bird. They're not really crazy like a macaw or nothing fancy. You know, they're just just this normal little bird, and they're just flying around the ship, like a dozen of them flying around. And I mean, the ship was decent size though, but still, the ship was interesting. They have the walls are made out of like a gray stone looking, but real smooth. And then they have these like veins in them that are a darker gray, all woven throughout it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like metal and stone mixed together. Really weird. But then, so they have this table. So if there's a mission, they lay me down on the table. They set me up. So there's a There's an AI they use. This is not going to make a lot of sense, but they hook you up. It's kind of like the Matrix, right? So where they have things that they plug into you in your back. And it's not, what it is it's like an internet, but it's more like an intranet where it's only on their network, you know? So like just in your house, you know what I mean? It's not even connected to anything outside it. So there's no way for anyone to, well, the special thing about how they do that, or this is how they communicated with me. And their internet is in a type of way that when you travel through time, they didn't travel through time. This is the interesting thing. So they would send me through. And so on this table, they would lay me on when it was time to go. They had me set up. I was hooked to their internet, you know, so I could communicate. And the table that I was ranked, it looked like those walls with the gray walls with the veins, you know, it looked like that when I was laying on it, when I initially got on it. Well, the platform I was laying on would turn like clear and you just fall through. I don't know how else to explain it, but you literally fall through like the table turns into water or something. Like you just, but it's not like you're wet, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're passing through a window without breaking it. But so anyway, you fall through and you are going wherever they set that crystal on their map. And that's where you appear. So you have to be prepared for that because you're laying down. And when you pop in, you're upright. You're on the ground, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, but there were three ships. They all traveled together. There was me and then two other. They just had me that they would send. And then the other two ships each had one person that they would send. And we were all different ages. We were at different ages, you know? Some missions they needed, because when they had taken me and my first memories go way, way back. I was 5 years old, going back to the earliest one. But they aren't concerned with like, oh, you're using children. They're not concerned. Some of the missions actually required children. So they would use me, you know, whereas the one on the other ship over there was already at 12 years old.
How would they require, like, what would a child be required to do or be used as?
Well, it depends on the situation and what you're having to change.
Oh.
There are time changes, especially in time wars, where let's say we wanted to go back and change something about, I don't know, Hitler's past, you know, when he was a child. Say something terrible happened to that kid, and that's what made him evil or whatever, right? So if we wanted to go back and change that event, it's you're at a great advantage if you also are a child.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah, I didn't have anything to do with the missions as far as setting anything up or where we were going or anything. I was just, here you go, you're going
to
do
it. And would you know what to do when you're there? Would you be instructed while you're there? Like how did that?
Yeah. Yeah, so through their internet, there was communication, which was kind of through their, we use AI, right? So they have this AI system that would communicate with me. And so those people don't really speak much. Like they might speak once a week. That's how little they speak. And when they do speak, it's like, crazy profound. So you just shut up and listen. But they don't say much when they do, you know. But yeah, most of the time you're talking to kind of like in Star Trek with the ship's computer. That's basically most of the time that's what you're talking to. But they put all of the mission parameters in there, and this AI communication that you have is, she knows what's going on, what you're supposed to do, and she's well versed in, like, if you're a 5 year old going back, you know, she's well versed in the fact that you're 5 years old. So she talks to you in that way. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. When you get put back in time, are you back in time for, could you be somewhere for weeks at a time so that you're there to prepare to, or are you like really there for just a short period of time to fix something and then out?
Most of the time it's very, very short. There are some that were way too long.
What's way too long?
A couple of months.
Oh, wow.
The longer you're there, the worse it is.
On your body, on you, or?
No, the worse it is for you even to achieve the goal.
How come?
So this is a great example, actually, what we're in right now. So we're in this big time nexus right now, where you have all these frays conjuncting in, which is fun for us because we get to play with it. But say if I was to come in, there was something here that needed change, needed fixed, and I was to come in. So I would have that amount of time because this nexus happens to be that big. So time is actually a factor in it, you know, because you're physically there. So you only really have so much time. Most of the time when you go back to fix something, it's not in a nexus. You don't have a big nexus to work in where you have a lot of time to get it done. And the ones where you do, and you do have a lot of time, you try to get them done as quick as you can. The quicker, more efficient, the least disturbances, you know, the better off.
Is there something that you remember that you did to affect time?
Well, I know. So this is going to sound a little bit nuts, but. So King Arthur was real, and some of the stories that we have in our, you know, a lot of times we hear are just literary or whatever. So King Arthur was real, and I know I was there. There was a large nexus, and I think this is what happened to Merlin. So there were some changes we had to make that had to do with King Arthur and his relationship to Merlin, because King Arthur had become reliant on Merlin. I don't know if you know much about Merlin and who he really was. He was a big guy. Merlin was a really big guy. But he was like very gentle, soft-spoken, you know? But he was a little too nice to King Arthur, and King Arthur had become reliant on him and was starting to make some really bad decisions regarding the round table thing. You know, this idea was supposed to change a lot of things. But this mission had failed. So when you come to the end of the nexus and you haven't achieved it yet, the AI in your head is trying to tell you, you're like kind of a countdown, you know, you don't have much time. But there's only so much you can do when you're there. And I mean, I couldn't fix it. Honestly, I don't think that mission, I don't think I was right for that mission, but. But I understood because I was there for a while, and I know that we were there to make things a lot better for our future, and I think we would be a lot better off had that panned out. We would have been a lot better off.
Sounds like that would have been a very significant thing to change. That would alter the course of history in a very big way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I could see how, you know, obviously when you're dealing with bigger levels of effect, you know, like it's going to have a ripple effect, not just on a few, but.
Well, that was a very hard one because there was more there than me. It's the problem. The problem with the Time Wars is all of those others that are involved that are also back there meddling with time.
Yeah, because it's not just you.
No, because it isn't. It's not just you. But these guys, for the most part, are, I mean, these guys are the masters. Those Easterhead guys are truly the masters. Nobody really, that I'm aware of, nobody's like going to mess with them because they can literally make you not exist, you know, like they're really masters. But interesting.
Wow. That's really, thank you for sharing that with all of us. I know this isn't easy for you to share publicly, even though we've protected you with your name. Still, I know it's hard to speak about out loud to knowing that many are going to hear it. Is there anything that you want to say regarding this idea of being able to use time almost like as a reflective portal? Like, what was the big takeaway for you? Whether it was something that was said or something that downloaded to you because of it, like what was the big takeaway for you?
For me, it was a couple of things because I'm becoming more and more aware. I think I've become so interested in consciousness and free will and how this whole process works. And not only that, but how to manifest, you know, how to get it done, do it right. And I've become so interested in it that when I started hearing, when you were talking about like the double yoke and then anyway, all this time talk, I don't do a lot with my SSPs anymore. So for the last couple of years, besides going to the conference, you know, it's really the only thing I've done recently was the conference that Tyler had set up. But besides that, I don't do much with that anymore. I'm trying to switch my focus to live my life.
Of course.
Here. And not focus on what was the life I was living. Because I don't know. Because, well, number one, right now, my life kind of demands it. And I think everyone's does right now because there's so much going on energetically, conscious wise, manifesting wise, the possibilities and opportunities that are available to us that if you don't keep your eye on the ball, you're going to miss it, you know? Yeah. So, Take advantage of time while you have time to do so.
In many ways, that is how time is being manipulated, by getting it eaten up in things that are useless.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm so done with that. Yeah.
And I think, just kind of speaking to that point too earlier that you made about, you know, this is the one you want to focus on. I think a lot of us can get caught up too in wanting to know all about our past lives, which I do believe there's a purpose to some of that, because it provides some context into why you might be experiencing certain things now. But ultimately, the life you really, that really matters the most, is the one you're living right now.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to say thank you for coming on the show and sharing. This is a very interesting conversation. Thank you for sharing everything in the details that you did. I'm obviously very interested to hear how the audience loved this. So please leave comments below the YouTube video, or come on over to the YouTube video and drop comments for those of you who might be listening on Spotify or iTunes or anywhere else. And thank you, Blue Phoenix, for having the courage to share this. It's been an interesting concept. I really do feel like whatever came through around this reflective portal of time, it's a mechanism that we can all use and has always been there for us to use, but perhaps we're just not certain how it actually operates for the most part. And so there's still more that's coming through. There's still more. And you know, I'll continue to unpack it the best I can for everyone and just see what else comes through. But it feels very relevant to the time period that we're in. And it, for, like you said, it's all about understanding our power, and free will is your greatest power, especially in this particular universe, as it is a free will universe. It's, they're not always free will universes. And I think being human is highly undervalued. We kind of think of ourselves as really dense, kind of dummies. And I think that that's part of the conditioning, so that we don't actually realize how incredible we are. And it's time that we start playing with that energy more to discover it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And thank you to everyone who listened. I love you guys. Thank you for all your support. If you feel so inclined, if you love this particular show or any of the other shows and you want to support me, please leave a review if you can on Spotify or iTunes. It really helps me out. And of course, if you're on YouTube, please like the video, share it with anyone that you feel would benefit from it. All of this helps the podcast, and I appreciate it greatly. And of course, guys, if you need to book any sessions with me, know that all the links are in the description below. We are heading into eclipse season in a few weeks, so things are about to get really interesting and potent. So stay tuned for more information on that. And have an amazing week, and I'll be back with you guys next time. Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.